The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower, doing something today a little different. I have three guests. I have David Blankenhorn from DLT, the CTO of DLT. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That
Thank you, Mark.
That is correct. Jim Bajoyan, who is the federal guru for RICO. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
There you go. And my buddy Mike Smoyer of the Digital Government Institute. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, start us out. Tell everybody what digital government does and a little bit about your background, please.
My name is Mike Smoyer. I'm president of Digital Government Institute. I've been in the producing live events here in the local government IT community since 1989. I work for National Trade Productions, the creator of the Fosse Show. I also work for FCW Media Group, and in 2007, I joined Digital Government Institute. We produce a series of live events, webinars, and training seminars focused on topics of interest in government IT, with our largest event, the 5th annual 930Gov, coming up September 6th. Thank you for asking me to be here today, Mark.
Sure. Jim.
Jim Bajoyan. I'm the National Program Manager for Federal for all of RICO in the U.S., and essentially what we focus on is the development and document management of everything within the federal government. So we're trying to make the federal government's documents and data as seamless and transformative as possible. And for easy access, not just to internal constituents, but external for the public.
Okay. And part of that is a group that I do a little bit of work with, your e-discovery team.
Yes, it's a large component of RICO's business and our future, because we want to make the documents for any agency more valuable to them so that they can get access to them as quickly as possible and give actionable information, and e-discovery is a way of doing that.
There you go. David.
Great. David Blankenhorn. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for DLT. Been with all throughout the industry over the last, since the 80s, started on the old Defense Data Network contract back in the days as a sysadmin. Spent some time at SIs and vendors and throughout the ecosystem. Been at DLT now for about 6.5 years. What really drew me to DLT was that, you know, we've been around for 26 years in the industry, dedicated to the public sector, and really focusing on modernizing and securing government IT infrastructure. So it's a really exciting area to be in. I think probably the most interesting part of my job at the company is I really get I spend a lot of my time looking and surveying what's happening in industry, whether it's, you know, neat startups in Boston or California, or it might be, you know, well-established vendors like RICO. Look at what's happening in the market, in the industry, but I look at it through the lens of how can this help the public sector? How can this help meet mission requirements? So we're constantly looking at the technologies in the industry and trying to figure out how to bring those to the public sector market to really address those mission requirements.
Yeah. You mentioned that DLT has been doing this 26 years. There's three primary, what I call value-added distributors in the government market. Mm-hmm. DLT was actually first, the other two being Carahsoft and Immix Group.
Right.
It's a segment of the market that I watch closely and one that I'm extremely interested in. And there's been a couple of changes at DLT recently. My friend Art Richer came over to be the CEO after several years with one of your competitors / friends, because I know you guys work together.
Absolutely.
Too. So, and Brian Strasser, who formerly COO. Before that, various head of sales positions at DLT, moves up to president.
Right.
So word on the street is simple, that DLT is going to become more aggressive somehow. any comment on that, or do you want to stay away from that?
Yeah, I have to be real careful about the whole commenting on Art and Brian, considering that Art signs my paychecks. but no, it's very exciting, though. In reality, it's very exciting. Art and Brian both bring over 25 years experience in that public sector space, lots of great institutional knowledge there. So we're really excited to have Art on board. I think he's entering his fourth month now. You know, Brian, he's been at DLT for 9 years, you know, previously stints at NetApp and Sun, back same time I was there, actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
So, yeah, it's great focus on public sector. So we're really excited about that piece. Some other pieces that might have been missed was we also brought on our new general counsel and VP of contracts, Scott Needleman.
I saw that.
Also formerly of MX.
Yeah.
And we brought on Keith Barnes to run our Oracle division as well. So we've had, you know, this is the last couple of months, we've got some real, you know, new high-powered folks coming in. I think that in terms of aggressive in the market, I think we've always been a little aggressive in the market. But you're definitely going to see us start to double down in certain key technology areas. You're going to see us really ramp up the messaging around our cybersecurity portfolio, around our big data analytics and data science portfolio. In fact, we just released our version 1.0 of our DLT analytics stack framework. So we're going to see certain technology areas where we're really going to start staking out claims and really bringing high quality vendors within a really controlled method to the public sector.
Okay. And Jim, you play as you indicated, a multi-hat role with RICO. So take a little bit a broader swatch. Everybody knows the RICO print management side. That's pretty well known. The e-discovery side, less known. So that and what other niches are you playing in? I mean, I've had the pleasure recently of working with David Greedham's team on the e-discovery side some. What else is out there? I mean,
well, you bring up a good point. And RICO's been around for about 80 years as a document management company, whether it be from the printer or fax where they started to now e-discovery. And really, it's the logical progression for our industry, managing a document. And e-discovery is really drilling down to how that works within an agency and or a corporation's infrastructure, how they manage those documents, that electronic media, so that it's more valuable to the end user. It could be a general counsel. It could be for litigation support. But you're able to look at all of the documents, the plethora of documents that an agency or a corporation would have, and cull it down to the most essential documents that they need so that they're actionable. And it makes it easier for those agencies and for those corporations. But we look at it as an end-to-end solution. We may have started with the box, the copier, but we're trying to look at the entire life cycle of a document, not just where they start, but where they end up. And e-discovery is a logical progression for that. And then we wrap around all of our other solutions, like interactive whiteboards, so that people can communicate and discuss intelligently over, you know, video, over the web, what they're looking at, the documents that they're reviewing. So it's a way of looking at a document and finding out what's important to the end user. And we're right now in federal, we're trying to help agencies show them how they can organize their data, how they can organize their e-discovery solutions to make that really something that allows them to work smarter, not harder.
Okay. And the main reason that we have that I have three guests today is that, again, Michael mentioned the 9:30 Gov show that's coming up September 6th. And you can just look up 930-GOV and you'll be at the website. The event is focused on five different tech areas. Is that correct?
Yes.
So touch on that a minute, because I want to get into events.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Actually, let's do that immediately after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Michael, I asked a question before the break. Pick it up, please.
Yeah, 930 Gov is an end-of-year learning exchange where we gather technical communities to share knowledge, new ideas, and have some fun. Just to back up maybe a little bit on what James just mentioned, we take a little bit different approach at Digital Government Institute. We look at those technologies where we've known communities. One of them has been records management. I think going back to the founding of Digital Government Institute 19 years ago, we used to run 2 to 3 electronic records management programs 19 years ago. So records managers are a very key part of our constituency. And it was back in 2007, we actually did not do a records management event because the reason to gather, vendors weren't that interested in getting together. There wasn't anything new until, to back up what James said, the e-discovery, the new solution sets and the ability to automate a lot of records managers and define things and tying in FOIA and a lot of the new policy coming out for government. So to tie it in, we look at, you know, what's important. What solutions are the government talking about? So this year, it's going to be customer experience, cybersecurity, records management, IT modernization, and record IT modernization and knowledge management and data management, which aligns with what Dave was saying over there. And, you know, what role do events play? As a long-term veteran here, I think events play a critical role. 5 to 8 years ago, there was a lot of challenges by government-run shows, and a lot of government attendees weren't allowed to travel and weren't allowed to attend events. But they've kind of exploded here in the local marketplace because this is, I think I mentioned this last time I was on your show, Mark. We break things down when anytime I talk to a potential sponsor, resume, reputation, and relationship. And we at Digital Government Institute are huge advocates of if you want to improve your resume, let people know what your reputation is, and build relationships, the best way or one of the better ways to do it is in a live format where you can look them in the eye, shake hands, you know, answer their questions, talk about the issues they're challenged with, and how you can potentially provide a solution to solve a problem the public sector's having.
Yeah, as you and Jim know, I'm a huge advocate of social networking. David, you will become aware of that because I'll reach out to you, connect on LinkedIn, and you'll see just a little bit of activity from me on a minutely basis. But it doesn't pay dividends until you can put flesh to flesh, face to face.
We're still big advocates of the marketing mix. I don't think there's a set plan. Every vendor's different. Every agency has different challenges, different, you know, rules are being run by different people and, you know, different inside contractors. I mean, it can get very complex, but if you have the opportunity to, you know, clearly demonstrate, hey, I'm on NASA Soup or NITAC, I have a schedule, we've been doing business for X amount of years, here's the agencies we've solved problems with, here's what we're here today advocating on behalf, and here are the problems we're solving, I think live events still play a very critical role.
Yeah, and DLT is sponsoring this year, so give me an idea of, as much as you can from the CTO role, why an event like 930 Gov or what your criteria is for selecting the events that you put people in to speak, to sponsor, to exhibit, et cetera.
Sure. There's a number of reasons why we've invested. We're a diamond sponsor with the 930 Gov event, and we're actually very excited about this. I mean, if we look at, you know, you mentioned earlier social media and LinkedIn, there's certainly a huge wealth of information and sharing and collaboration being done in social media. But at the end of the day, business is still a very personal thing. You know, meeting somebody, shaking their hand, looking them in the eye, you can't do that over a webcast. You can't do that over a Twitter feed. You've got to actually meet the person and again, look them in the eye. And I think that that's a critical component that we can't lose sight of. And events like the 930 Gov event absolutely allow for that intermingling of people and ideas to allow us to work together and collaborate to solve some of these big issues that we're running into in government.
Jim, and you guys are there. I mean, we met there a couple of years ago.
Yes.
You were exhibiting, and you sat in, actually, the panel that I'm replicating again this year, the GWAC panel.
Correct. And I started getting hooked up with Mike Smoyer a few years back. And for us, we're trying to make a transformation internally from being box-centric, the copier, to letting agencies know that we're more than that, that we're a services-led organization, that we actually provide a lot more to the federal government in the way of services, whether it be e-discovery, FOIA, IT services. And most people just know RICO as their copier guy. So a DGI event is a way for us to rebrand ourselves to the federal vertical, as well as be able to do what David said, which is press the flesh with our agency representatives. It's important for us to be able to be involved with them, show them that we're engaged with them, show them new technologies so that they can do their job better. And it's not just us working with them as a client. It's us working with their client. So if we can solve the problem for their clients, it's going to make their job that much easier. And it's a lot easier when, as David said, when you're face-to-face with people, you can look them in the eye, they can see what you bring to the table, and you know, you move forward and show them what solutions RICO can provide.
Yeah. And David, let's get back to the non-personal event, the webinar format. You guys have been a player in this particular arena almost since day one.
Absolutely.
So the value there is, you know, getting people out of the office to attend live events is great, but it's hard.
It's hard. You know, a couple of years back, you know, we saw the whole shutdown in terms of travel and events and the government. And we definitely, as you mentioned, we've been very heavily involved in the webcasts and events for all these years. Even tried some of the digital events types of formats and experimented with some of those. We're starting to definitely see more engagement of the public, of the govies actually coming to these events again. Location matters. Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting is that, you know, we see that the DC events are extremely well attended. Some other events we've seen take place in other parts of the U.S., not so much. The people just weren't local and they weren't able to travel. So location's key. And we're definitely seeing a lot better traction over the last couple of years than we've seen, you know, back a few 5 years.
Okay. Michael, DGI puts on webinars?
Yes, we do.
Question?
Yeah, and it goes to, you know, we don't position ourselves as a media company. We tend to focus on, we use the term, if you'd go to our website, technical communities, and, you know, I'll go back to the records management community. We tend to partner a lot with those agencies that are advocating certain policies, to use records management, the Managing Government Records Directive that came back a few years ago. We'll work really closely with NARA officials to, you know, find out, okay, what part of the directive, you know, in 2016, by the end of the calendar year, it was every all electronic email had to be email had to be electronically stored. Now it's by the end of 2019, all permanent records need to be electronically stored, which is a major issue.
Does that include tweets?
I do believe it does include both structured and unstructured data. But we'll reach out then to the technical communities. We'll work real closely with NCC AIM, the ARMA chapters locally, FIRM, which is another group. And we create an environment that's free for them, and it's also free for industry at 930.gov to come around a topic that's important to them, and they can network, see what's new, all in I call it a neutral setting. We're not affiliated with anyone. We don't solicit government business. I mean, we're not a government contractor. There's no relationship with any vendor. We're just a group of people putting together live events, working with those technical communities to put a product out there that we're very proud of. Matter of fact, the content is actually developed by those communities. We have educational advisory committees made up just of government professionals that are advocates of that topic. And we just say, hey, what are those topics you want to address? And we found that to be the key to success, as Dave mentioned, of getting people to come out. We're expecting 2,000 total registrants and 1,200 total attendees. Our exhibit floor, I think we have one or two booths left by the end of this week. It's going to be sold out. It's been a long 5 years building back a horizontal trade show. But the reason we did that, there was a reason, I guess. If anyone in government IT knows everything verticalized. You go back to Fosse in the late 80s, there was one show, get everything there. But then cyber people went to cyber events, mm-hmm. record people went to record events, and so forth. But what we started noticing 6-7 years ago with their educational advisory committees, people started sitting, I just wish internally at our agency, we could get all the stakeholders in one room. So before you go modernize anything, or before you bring this cybersecurity solution in, how's it going to impact the attorneys? How's it going to impact the records people? How's it going to impact the program people? And we started thinking at DGI, well, maybe we should create an event at the end of the year where these people can come and still get the vertical topic they're interested in. But hey, I might want to go here, Mark Amtower, and hear what NITAC and GWAC and the other GWACs are doing. Or let's hear the guru of knowledge management, Steve Denning, talking about how Agile's coming in and impacting the government workforce. So we kind of indirectly are creating a collaboration area where cyber people can, on all in one day, maybe go and hear something they might not hear otherwise.
Okay, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I shall return with my guests right after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with David Blankenhorn of DLT, DLT.com.
That's correct.
Correct. Jim Bajoyan of RICO. RICO, is it RICO.com or RICOUSA.com?
RICOUSA.com.
There you go. And Michael Smoyer of the Digital Government Institute, and that's just digitalgovernment.com?
Digitalgovernment.com, correct.
There you go. Hey, 3 for 3. I don't usually do that. I want to talk a little more in depth about some of these larger issues. So, David, start us off here. You have this whole gamut of issues that DLT is addressing,
mm-hmm.
And you're going to be doing a deeper dive. So maybe this is the kind of the rumor that I heard that the DLT is going to get more aggressive, a deeper dive into the technical areas. I mean, you've always done pretty deep dive into the technical areas,
right.
Anyway, but
right.
But explain that a little bit, please.
I think that if we look at our portfolio and you look at the way DLT is structured, we've always been very technology domain focused. Again, IT management and data center infrastructure really being, in early days, we've been doing that for 26 years. Over the last year, though, we've actually We've added in the security competency. We've added in the big data analytics and data science competency. And even 6 years ago when I came on board, we started the cloud competency. So there definitely we're continuing to double down on key technology areas that we think are relevant to public sector and solving the challenges the public sector has. We're definitely seeing in the market the need for more informed decisions and discussions and options to actually solve some of these bigger issues. Automation is going to be absolutely critical. James and the enterprise data management, enterprise data governance, again, them thinking outside the box is going to be critical to solving some of these really big thorny problems that government has. So we've, again, looking at industry and where the technology is going, looking at what the needs are from public sector, we sit at that intersection. We're kind of defining that crossroads of saying, here's some technology that we think can actually help start solving these problems. We've also been turning the whole thing around and say, we're taking a very use case driven approach. So for example, if we're looking at an agency that wants to understand the opioid epidemic issues or waste, fraud, and abuse, okay, how do we decompose those problems, those challenges into technology stacks? And that's a big shift for us, is we're starting to take a very stack-oriented approach. As I mentioned, we came out with our DLT analytics stack. We're actually taking the stack approach so that customers can look at it and go, yeah, I've got this. I think I have a fraud, waste, and abuse issue or concern. I think I might. I've got all this data. How do I verify? How do I actually check to see if I have that? What technologies do I need to actually do that sort of analysis? And that's where we're getting aggressive.
Okay. Where do you play it, Jim?
Well, I think to dovetail what Dave has spoken about and Mike, we take our direction from our clients. And in some ways, those are driven by some of the federal directives that have come out over the last couple of years. Mike spoke about digital government. M1218 looked at getting permanent records, stored for or a policy for permanent records. And everything has to be done by 2019. You've got M1619, which is a federal data center consolidation initiative, which says that the federal government isn't supposed to grow its data center footprint or costs attributed to data centers. M1722, workforce optimization. They're going to do more with less. So what RICO's focus is how can we help the federal government and agencies do more with less with our solutions, by workflow optimization, by things like e-discovery. One of the great things about the DGI event is that we get to have someone like David Greetham, our VP of e-discovery, come and educate agencies on the right way, the right automation of their workflows from a litigation standpoint. And then now what we're doing is we're taking some of the data that we're digitizing and turning into electronic data, and we're leveraging that with some AI solutions so that that information can be easily accessed by the agency and help each of their constituencies get that information faster and quicker.
Okay. Michael?
Well,
any thoughts here?
Well, I think, what both David and James mentioned dovetails right into why we have 9/30 Gov, September 6th. I think it gives DLT and RICO an opportunity, when you have a collective exhibit floor with multiple disciplines defined as different people within government, be it cybersecurity, people interested in modernization, data management, customer service, or records, it might expose both brands to individuals that might not have known RICO or DLT offered solutions in those sets. So it's a great opportunity for those organizations. As things rapidly change and new terms are brought in, yes, it's a great opportunity for them to hopefully pick up some new business.
Yeah. And I want to touch on this in a somewhat more significant way. Fossey was mentioned earlier. When Fossey finally went off life support and died, I literally wrote an obituary for it. And, you know, in many ways, it was tongue-in-cheek. But I miss the era of the big shows. But the era of the big show is gone. Mm-hmm. And focused events is key. And you mentioned that you have 2,000 registrants, probably bump up a little bit. And you'll end up with 1,200 to 1,400 people actually coming. And that's not unusual for an event that doesn't cost feds to attend. So there's built-in attrition. But when you have five focused tracks and 1,200 to 1,400 people coming, you've got people who are actually care about the particular issues at hand. So it's not a numbers game, it's a quality game. There are other organizations that host similar events. Our buddy Peg Hosky does some of these. My friend David Powell at Federal Business Institute does a couple of these, or a lot of these. But you know the 1105 does them too. But the importance is finding an event that has traction for what you do, mm-hmm. and that's not an easy thing to do. So. I want to go back again. You know, you guys do so many live events and webinars. Right. On the webinars, you're partnering usually with, you know, an OEM or mm-hmm. other service provider, and you're driving traffic there. But you're also archiving the event mm-hmm. for people who can't attend
right.
the first go round.
Yeah. So our webinars, and we do a large number of webinars. And to your point, we do leverage a lot of external subject matter experts, usually augmented by someone on my team or the sales engineering team to really frame the challenge that the customers are having. But we definitely have been focusing on the webinar component. I think looking at events like 930Gov, we do definitely see a specialization of events. There seems to be this cyber events or data events. We need general events. And the reason why is none of this technology works in a vacuum. All right, we need to be looking at the bigger picture. Someone's got to be looking at kind of the overall story, the overall vision of where this technology needs to go. They need to be buzzword compliant in terms of what the technology is doing to articulate that vision. And then you can double click down into specific technology areas. So I particularly like the 930Gov format in that they do have, you know, they're still focused. There's still specific topics they're addressing. There's five that they're focusing on. But there's a synergy between these topics.
Right, there's an overarching
there absolutely
theme.
Is. They interweave each other. And having that cross-pollination, we're talking about data and information and knowledge management, that dovetails into acquisition, which dovetails into how do we secure all this data and how do we do governance there. So there's definitely, all this stuff is interconnected. And I think what we lose sight of in these very specialized sorts of events is the importance of that interconnection of this technology.
Yeah. And Jim, for you guys, that interconnectedness plays a fairly significant role as well.
Yes, absolutely. And to leverage what Dave said, it's about connecting the dots for those agencies.
Yep.
You've got multiple seminars going on at the DGI event, all of them very important educational sessions that impart this information to an agency and empowers them to make the right decision. Then right after that, they can walk through the entire conference and meet vendors that can provide those services. And depending upon what contracting vehicle they use, they may be able to work with a vendor like RICO or DLT that can cobble that solution together and give them what they need for that particular solution.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our last break here. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here today with David Blankenhorn, CTO of DLT, Jim Bajoyan, the federal programs manager for RICO USA, and Mike Smoyer, president of the Digital Government Institute. Once again, Michael, I'm doing a panel at 930 Gov this year on GWACs, the focus of which will be why feds should be using this. And frankly, I don't have to tell most of them, because the growth of the GWACs over the last couple of years has been quite robust. Mm-hmm. I'm combined GWACs, all eight vehicles this year, I'm predicting somewhere around $18 to $20 billion in total activity, and DLT plays a significant role there. But I'll have GSA 70, which is not a GWAC, Alliant, which is a GWAC, Soup, and NITAC, mm-hmm. all represented on my panel. But you know, the point of the panel is there may be a zillion great technologies out there, but they don't mean crap if you don't have a vehicle through which to sell them. So, that's what pisses me off about all of this crap about Silicon Valley and bringing in these companies. They don't know this market. They're going to get creamed. They need a channel partner. They need education. You're setting them up for doom. Side story. So the point of the panel is, you know, GWACs and the schedule are an important way for products and services to move into the government. And you guys at DLT, David, have a very nice array of such vehicles.
Right. On the Fed Civ side, we've got all the three major ones. We do have NITAC CIOCS, we're Soup 5, and as you mentioned, GSA. But that's also sprinkled with DOD ESI contracts and very specialized contracts.
Oh, you have
contracts.
A ton of BPAs.
Yeah, we have a ton of BPAs as well. So there's definitely that element to it, but you're right. These contracts are absolutely critical. And to your point earlier about, you know, new vendors, the Boston, Silicon Valley, the 20 people with a great technology and a great idea, they can't get into public sector. It's just way too difficult. An open market is not comfortable for a lot of contracting officers for obvious reasons. So without their access to these schedules and these contracts, it's a real challenge for them to actually break into this market and provide their value to the public sector. But again, this is a critical part of our business. It's been since the founding of the company. You know, we really, that's an area that we focus a lot on, is the acquisitions. And every time I'm talking to a company that's new to this market, I have to explain to them, okay, there's a difference between sales and acquisitions. There are two different processes. There are two different groups of people. Selling is where you go talk to the customer and you educate them and you collaborate with them and get them excited about the technology so that they want it. Okay, then you start all over again with the acquisition side, which is a whole nother process, whole nother game, whole set of different rules. And so it's two different, very different things. And having those GWACs is critical to make that second part run smoothly.
And you guys look for contract holders to play with.
Yeah, so we also have a lot of BPAs, and contracts that revolve around equipment. So it's incumbent upon me to help those agencies modify those contracts for services so that we can leverage those contracts, as well as work smartly with small businesses, set aside groups, and primes. It's a focus of ours to be able to provide the solutions to an agency. So as we're talking to an agency, as David said, selling an acquisition, we're doing that concurrently. So we're not just trying to sell to them. At the same time, we're seeing how they normally buy. Mm-hmm. Are they using Soup 5? Are they using NITAC? So that when we come together at that point, we're all ready. They're using Soup 5. Here's the solution. Here's the cleanse. Or here is the other vehicle that they're going to leverage to buy our solutions.
Okay. And Michael, you include the acquisition side for 930 Gov. Because
I think it's a critical part. I think between what you've mentioned during this program, both Dave and James. We view it as our role. We'd be negligent not including something like that for all the constituencies coming. You know, I've had attendees to some of the smaller custom events we do raise their hand to a vendor that was up on the podium. I love this solution, but I could never get it through my contract process. So I think it, and we've been doing it every year, you know, as things evolve and change, the topic will probably address will change. But I very much appreciate you, you know, pulling together that community. And we do it at the end of the day. So when people are out there, they're seeing things they might want to know, you know, or procure, they could go out, talk on the floor. And then there's what I call the serious part of it. You know, how can they get it through the procurement process? And yes, we're called 930Gov. It represents September 30th, but it was more of no matter what organization you're at, when you get near the end of your year, it's a time to reflect what's happened, what can we still do, but most importantly, what's coming right down the pike. As we all know, October 1st, well, we have no idea what the budget will be, or will government be open, which unfortunately seems to be a common thing here inside of DC. But, you know, we at DGI believe all four quarters of the year are very important, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, your typical lead cycle. And, you know, as, you know, David mentioned, yes, selling and getting a government agency excited about something is all great, but then you got to get it through the procurement contracting side, and that can take a while. And so we just advocate fourth quarter is a great time to get there, see what's going on, maybe capture some year-end business, but definitely be positioned to head into the new fiscal year really strong.
Yeah, the cool thing about my panel is it is the last session of the day, but here's the neat thing. At the end of the panel, each one of my panelists has this long line of people that wants to talk to them about their specific vehicle. You know, Joanne with Soup, or, you know, Bridget or Rob.
It's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you can see that these people want the technologies they've been hearing about all day, and now they need to know how to access the vehicle. So they may be the techies. They may not be the acquisition folks, but they still need that knowledge.
Yeah, and I think cloud and big data are two really interesting topics when it comes to the GWACs. Mm-hmm. And you know, it sounds like both of you have been working closely, and I know Mark helping these procurement vehicles bring in, which in theory sound easy,
right?
But can be complex procurements, and making it easier for public officials to find solutions that help them solve problems, we at DGI think is very important.
Yep. Final thoughts, David.
Looking forward to the 930Gov event. Should be exciting, and definitely looking forward to working more closely with the customers and understanding what the requirements are come federal fiscal year end.
There you go, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that. I think the 930Gov event is an amazing event. It allows us to really press the flesh with our agencies and our clients and bring together that selling and procurement, the words and music that will make a solution happen. And Mark, I want to thank you for allowing us the time. As always, you're a fund of information.
Well, thanks. Michael.
The last point I would just say, anyone that hasn't heard about 930Gov, please come down and check it out. It's free for both government and industry. You know, we always hear how important it is for the public sector and industry to collaborate. Here's a perfect opportunity. We start at 8:15 in the morning, and right after Mark's GWAC panel, we have a networking reception. And I know this will make Mark chime as I sign off. We actually have a little 5th anniversary 930Gov bag we're going to hand out to every attendee.
Is it a giant bag?
No,
the big bag theory strikes again.
But thank you for giving us the opportunity to come in today, Mark. We appreciate it.
I like the event. It's worthwhile. My guests have been David Blankenhorn, DLT, Jim Bajoyan, Rico USA, and Michael Smoyer of the Digital Government Institute. This is not my day job. I do help companies select vehicles to attach themselves to, even though all of the GWACs that we were talking about are technically closed. There are ways to partner. I also advise companies on all aspects of leveraging LinkedIn for social selling and anything to do with marketing your company, your product or service to the government. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net, and thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.